You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Thursday's program. We're almost there at the end of the week. I saw you did some sports there, Tom. What are you doing? Don't be usurping my problems here or my issues.
Well, it was news.
It was news. Not,
it was news in the sports
get
world.
Hold of Ray. Get a hold of Ray. I got a complaint here.
All right.
No, I'm glad you mentioned it.
Complain all you want.
It won't matter. No one listens to me anyway. What the heck? Hello, one listener. How you doing? Hey, good. That's a good big news, though, isn't it? Jamal Baker gets to play.
Well, it's going to help the Wildcats in a position that they have needed or do need some depth, and it looks like this guy could probably do a good job.
In fact, he was probably one of the better players on the in the red blue game.
I think you're right.
Maybe top two or three players in the red blue game. So it showed that he's very capable. Obviously, he went to Kentucky. You'd assume that he would be. Now he's here at Arizona. The NCAA cleared him to play. So you're right. Depth is going to be a big deal in the backcourt. However, there's a lot of good players there already, one being Mannion.
That's right. Now, this raises a question in my mind. You can help me with this. So Jamal has this season and two more seasons if he wants to stay.
Yes.
I wonder if that would affect, depending on how the team develops, what the chemistry is like this season, how will that factor in as far as Nico Mannion deciding, well, maybe I'll stick around another season?
Let's not put the cart before the horse, senor. Enjoy today's party before you worry about the next party, because there may not be a next party.
Well, they're partying in Washington, D.C.
Yes. Nice transition, but we're not going to go there yet. No, I think Nico's Nico's time will be determined throughout the next few months, obviously.
Well, he and Josh Green are already being, ballyhooed?
You'd never know.
Give me a good word.
Hyped?
Hyped. They're already being hyped for the 2020 draft, so.
Yes.
I don't know.
We'll get there when we get there, senor. We'll wait for that to happen. But it's great depth. They'll be better because of it.
Interesting to see if they move up in the
No. It doesn't
top
matter.
25.
It doesn't matter. Hey, does it, if I take a shower, it doesn't make me a different man. It just makes me a cleaner man.
Makes you more presentable.
Yeah, I'm still the man that I am. There's no biggie. So you want to transition? Okay, so that's good news for Arizona. In other news, and we'll get to that before we have our guest at 6:15. It's going to be Adrian Denny of the Tucson Roadrunners. The game last night, did you watch the game last night?
I did.
A crazy game.
Yeah.
Crazy game.
Scherzer, he was struggling a little bit, but he's got the mentality of a fighter, you know? And he hung in there for five innings and
did what he could.
You know, after the first inning, he kept the Astros from scoring. So
Greinke played a heck of a game. He pitched
a
game.
Yeah,
he couldn't get the win. The Astros, every visiting team won. Very strange. That never happens.
And weren't the Nationals behind in each of the five games that they won?
I don't know. That's a good.
There's a number of things that happened in this series that we've never seen
before.
You
must have read that somewhere, because that's what you do. Yeah, I do.
Well, I don't know. How do you do it? Do you just pick it out of the air?
I don't mention stuff I don't know. but probably saw that somewhere, and that's probably very true. I don't know. But it was, they came back. They deserved that. They were 19-31 back in April, May, whatever it was. Late May, June.
Yeah, when you compared their season at that time with the Astros, Astros were way ahead. But then by the end of the regular season, they were neck and neck.
It doesn't matter where you begin there, Thomas.
Just where you end.
Here
we go. Fourth quarter.
No, exactly. Hey, thank you very much for a point, Rivera. Tom 0, Rivera 1. In fact, guess who the Cardinals are playing tonight against the 49ers? It should be a one-sided affair, correct?
Well,
but it's
the way the 49ers have played in the last couple of games, it would seem so.
Well, it's 7-7 now in the second, I think it's second quarter. Yeah, beginning of the second quarter.
Are they playing in Phoenix?
They're playing in Phoenix, yes. Had I known that, I would have gone up there. Yeah, not really. I don't think so. Oh, I went to a game last year, and it was the Denver game. It was probably the worst NFL game I've ever been to. Cardinals were horrible. It was a Thursday night game. They just got crushed. So let's go through the lineup today. Anything else? The Jamal Baker, last night's game, today's game with Arizona and San Francisco, 7-7 with about 13 minutes left in the second quarter. Just a lot of things going on. The soccer, Beeman Soccer, I haven't had Dave Cosgrove on, but he won yesterday. He beat Yavapai, which rarely happens at Yavapai. They beat them. And then you know what the other good fortune was? On the other side of the bracket, the number 4 seed beat the 1 seed. So now they play the 4 seed to get to the national tournament. And so they could defend their title.
What school are you talking
Pima.
About?
Pima Soccer.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Pima Soccer. They're the defending national champions.
Right, yeah.
And they're just one more.
On their way, perhaps, to another successful season. Well, yes. I guess they're having a successful season as far as that goes.
Well, they opened the season number 1 in the country and then lost a couple of games. And now I think they're in the top 10, but they were 4th or 3rd in their conference. And now they have a chance to get back to the championships or to the at least tournament. So we'll see what happens. I'll try to see if they get to there. I'll have him, Dave Cosgrove, on maybe next week. But today we're going to have Adrian Denny from the Tucson Roadrunners in the IRA Resources.
They've been
Tucson
doing good.
Roadrunners of soccer.
Although Chicago's been giving them a hard time.
Okay.
They were doing good up until Chicago.
Who are you talking about?
The two Chicago games.
Who are you talking about?
The Roadrunners?
They haven't played Chicago. Roadrunners. Hockey, local hockey.
Yeah.
They don't play Chicago.
I don't know. Let's ask Adrian. I thought I saw something.
They don't play Chicago. That's a major league team. What are you talking about?
Chicago doesn't have a AHL or AAA.
They're 5-1. They were like, they haven't, no.
Oh, okay.
I guess you didn't read down somewhere. No.
Maybe I dreamed it.
I think so. We're going to have to cut your mic off sometime soon. No, they've won like 5 straight. They're doing really well.
Well, you can have it from now on. I'll just go ahead and turn my mic off now.
Just answer my phones, please. Just I kind of wake you up and answer my phones.
Well, give out the phone number, why don't you?
Well, we're going to have Adrian call in here in about a minute. So let's actually go to break here a little early so we'll be ready for him. We'll have him ready as we come back here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. Tom is your host. I'm just Steve Rivera holding the fort here. And on the phone we have Adrian Denny, the voice of the Roadrunners. Adrian, how are you?
Hey, Steve. How's it going, man? Good to talk to you.
Same here. You know, I'm just getting schooled by my boy Tom. You know, you guys are doing what? You guys had won 5 straight?
We had won 5 straight.
And then what? Great. Some team called Chicago came in and beat you?
Chicago came in and won a couple close games. They beat us 2-1. On Tuesday night, and then last night it was 1-0 until the final 90 seconds or so. They scored a couple empty netters, and so we finished October 6-3. But we'll take it and move on to California this weekend.
This weekend, yeah. No. I missed the last two, and you know, mea culpa to Tom. He gets to keep his job another day.
That's good. He was talking to him off the air. He had all of his facts straight, and could tell that he's. He's up with it.
Thank you, Adrian.
He knows his hockey. Thank God somebody here does, because I don't. But I'm glad to have you here on the IRA Resources Roadrunner does hockey show. Hey, how are things going? You had won 5 straight. What's the crowds been like? What have the crowds been like?
You know what? We played 6 games in, 12 days. So we were packing them in, and we had a good time. And it's always a great atmosphere. The fans are always into it. They're always supportive. And you know, they were into it for all 6 of them, even though we didn't win Tuesday, Wednesday. But those weekend crowds, back-to-back, played San Antonio opening weekend, the 18th and 19th. Iowa was in town, 25th and 26th, and then Chicago. We played 3 really good teams from out of our division that we don't usually see, and just kind of luck of the draw, we see Iowa and San Antonio come in unbeaten. And we handed them their first losses of the year. And then we had Chicago, who came in riding a 4-game unbeaten streak. It's now a 6-game unbeaten streak. So some really really good competition, and the fans were into it. And it's sure an electric atmosphere. You can't say it enough. We definitely do have a home ice advantage here in Tucson, and the fans are just phenomenal.
In fact, I'm ready to give away a couple of tickets today. If you want to call in 790-2040, you can pick those tickets up because you have a game on Saturday, correct? Is it military night?
That's next weekend.
Okay.
California.
Okay.
Saturday, November 9th is our military appreciation night. We're going to be wearing those A-10 fighter jet jerseys modeled after the planes flying out of Davis-Monthan, so we're really excited about it. And then we're back home Friday, November 8th, and we have a big college night promotion, and we'll just continue to spin the hits, have fun, and win hockey games. But this weekend we are in California. We leave tomorrow. We'll be in Stockton on Saturday, and then San Jose on Sunday.
Yeah, okay. So this morning I saw this the preview of it, and I said Saturday. I was assuming it was this Saturday, but that's good. That's all fine. You guys are doing really well. How's the vibe again and compared to last year?
Compared to last year, I think we just got another year under our belts. We have three guys that have been in Tucson all 4 years, in Dyson Mayo, Michael Bunting, and Aiden Hill, and we have several guys now in their third years with the team, like Nick Merkley and like Lane Peterson. And our guys in their second years, like Brayden Burke and Jordan Gross and Camden Eane and Tyler Steenberger. And then we added, a couple pieces here and there. So I think we just all really know each other a lot better than we did last year at this time. And we had a good season last year, came out strong out of the gates, but you can tell that this group really wants it, and they're confident. And we've just had phenomenal goaltending, Steve. We played four goalies this year, one way or another. We had Antti Raanta with us on opening night, the Coyotes goalie, on a conditioning assignment. He shut out Texas. And then Aiden Hill, 3-1 with us. He's won three straight. We've got a 6'5" Russian, Ivan Fosvatov. He's 2-1 with us, and Eric Sjellgren out of Sweden made his first start last night. So we've got a lot of depth on goaltending in this organization. We've played four guys. I mean, we've allowed two goals or less in 7 of 9, not counting the empty netters from last night. But how about that? I mean, that's really good. But usually when you allow two or less in 7 of 9 games, you're playing the same goalie or maybe two. We've played four, and we just continue to not allow a lot of goals. So that's been a really good thing for this team, who's shown that they can put the puck in the net as well. Lane Peterson is third in the league in goal scoring right now with 8 and 9 games.
Hey, Adrian, this is what, the fourth season for this team?
This is our fourth season here, yep.
Now, in these four seasons, is there any team that you guys have developed a rivalry with, or maybe even more than one team that there's a lot of anticipation when you play and the fans really react when you play these guys?
You know, it's something. You look at San Diego, they're our closest regional rival. That we've got the IA Border Rivalry Trophy, and we've won that two straight years. They only beat us in our first year. We just had Chicago here, and we've got a lot of folks from Chicago here in southern Arizona that, you know, maybe come here for the winters, or at one point or another, they made the move full-time here. So Chicago's always a big draw for us. We were disappointed we didn't get them on a weekend. We had them Tuesday, Wednesday, which was great. But on a weekend with Chicago, we have people coming from even further around Arizona to come watch them. And I thought last year we really developed something with Colorado in their first year in the league. So, you know, you look at those rivalries, but really anytime somebody comes into Tucson, it's somebody that we want to beat. And it's funny how during the course of the season you play teams 8 times in our division. We play Colorado 12. You get familiar with everybody, and everybody seems like a rival at the time you get you play them 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, that sounds great. Hey, we've got a caller on the line who wants those tickets, and I didn't remember what time the game starts. Is it 7:30?
It's not till next week.
It's next weekend.
What I'll do is we'll get the name of him and we'll save him for next week.
Right.
We'll definitely, because we said that's not an issue.
Okay, so it would be what, Friday night?
Of what's the next week, Friday and Saturday?
Friday, Saturday next week.
Okay,
yep,
7
o'clock.
So we'll get his name and number. And we'll,
he can go to either game, Friday or Saturday.
He just needs to let us tell. I'll put him on a list, and we'll be good.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Does he have a question, or she have a question?
I don't think
so. Okay, so no, we'll just get his information, Tom, and we'll be good.
Yeah.
You guys, to me, the schedule that you guys play is kind of kooky, in part because last year you were here and you had to leave for almost a month because of the Gem Show, and it's almost like you got to stockpile as many victories as you can just to be safe.
Yeah, no, we just had six home games in less than 2 weeks, and we won the first four, and we're really rolling. And then the games in Chicago, I mean, we talk about our goaltending. We really ran into some good goaltending with the Wolves over the last couple nights. Garrett Sparks, who's been with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Oscar Dansk, who we've seen a lot of. We just couldn't get that extra goal. But you're right, Steve. Anytime you're on home ice, you want to win. And with six games, I think going into it, if you would have said we take four, we'd probably take that. But yeah, that's the case. It's been great being here at home. You know. We've gone 3 weeks between road games, which has to be some kind of Roadrunners record. And, boy, it's been great to be home, fun to see the fans. And it's always good to walk out of the arena with 2 points at the end of the night.
Right, no question. In fact, you're my third guest here on the IRA Resources Tucson Roadrunner Show. I had a good time talking to the head coach. I really had a good time talking to Steve, your assistant coach.
Yeah.
Good personality, said what he needed to say, and a lot of personality there.
Yeah, no, Steve's a great guy. You talked with Jay as well. Jay's a smart guy, and he's a great communicator.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the number one thing the guys would say about Jay is the way that he relates to him, the way that he communicates with him. And it's no different than Steve Potvin, who runs the forwards and the power play. And then John Slaney, our coach that runs the defenseman and the penalty kill. Same exact thing. He played in the game. He's an AHL Hall of Famer. So a number of years in this league playing for him, and now he's been coaching for a number of years. It's just a guy that the players can relate to, and he can really, really teach them, you know, how to become a better pro and how to keep developing. So we're really lucky with the coaching staff that we have here with Jay Verity as the head coach and John Slaney and Steve Potvin as our assistants. But you talked about, you know, good personalities. All three of them are, and they're all three, you know, different individuals. But all three, I think, have the same great characteristics of being able to communicate to the players, relate to them, and get the most out of them every single day, be it a practice day, a work day, a conditioning day, or a game day.
I talked to you. It's been a while. I talked to you every now and again. But when I first spoke to you, last year was your first year, correct?
Correct.
And just how did you enjoy the year in Tucson and kind of just, now you're a Tucsonan after 1 year?
I think so, right? Yeah, I mean, gosh, you can't beat the place. I was just running up Sabino Canyon because it was a little cold for me this morning and it was dark and I had to get out the door early. So I thought, well, you know, I'll just cut out of the office a little earlier than usual and go running 4 in the afternoon. It'll be 75 degrees. There won't be a cloud in the sky. And sure enough, so you can't beat it. Everybody else is out trick-or-treating on Halloween here where my niece and nephew are in Salt Lake, and I think it's less than 40 degrees there, and I've got another friend in Denver, and he just came back in with the toddler. It's 31 degrees, and the big kids are still out. And here in Tucson, we're still pushing probably 70 degrees on a beautiful Halloween night. You can't beat it, and I never hesitate to remark that, well, we've checked the box on one of our 350 days of sunshine.
Right. That's funny.
You can't get enough of it. And believe me, I love every single second that I'm here and that I've been here. And I just said it. I mean, we've been home for 3 weeks. I mean, I don't want to leave for California tomorrow. We will. We got to go win some hockey games.
We got to go. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, good luck this weekend. We'll see you next weekend. Thanks.
All right.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And now on the phone I have very good horse handicapper, Richard Ng. How are you, Richard?
Hey, good evening, Steve. Happy Halloween to you and all the listeners.
Thank you very much. Same to you. I'm sure you're too busy going through the form and doing what you do, getting ready for tomorrow and Saturday. Let me ask you this dumb question that I probably think I already know. Between the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, would you say this is your better weekend than those weekends or no?
For my book that I wrote for beginners, Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies, I sell the most books during the Triple Crown season and during the Breeders' Cup, which is right now, because horse racing is at a spike interest. And the kind of people who would buy my book are people who are just novices or, just weekend handicappers. And so, when they do a Google search for a newcomer's book, Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies, pops right up, Steve.
So you're happy all the time for this time of year.
Oh yeah. There's different ways to make money, and this is just one of them.
right. Nice. These next 2 days, I love them. I don't really see Friday's races. I do see Saturdays because of the bigger races. What do you see this weekend? And how is Santa Anita going to hold up for all this? Because obviously Santa Anita's taken a lot of hits over the last few months.
Yeah, that's a real good question, because most people who have been following the sport like we have are familiar with what happened this past winter with the wet weather and the spike of breakdowns that occurred at Santa Anita Park. Very tragic, but they took a lot of safety measures to try to, have proactive preventive maintenance. And they did change the racetrack an awful lot. I know they dug it up right down to the base. And the track that we see today, if people watch the races today, it's a deeper, slower, a little more tiring racetrack. It takes a little while to get used to. But we're seeing fractions that we don't normally see at Santa Anita, for example. I think they went a half mile in like 49 seconds on the main track in one of the races today. And that's a time that you just don't see very often at Santa Anita for a half mile.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I just read a story about that, how the track is deeper and heavier, and some of some of the bias is favored to the front runners.
Well, I really haven't noticed that much as far as the bias, but I think a point that's going to be coming up in the discussion, over the next 48 to 72 hours for the 2 days of the Breeders' Cup is, horses are shipping in, obviously, from all over the country, from all over the world. And, when you follow horse racing, just because horses run on the main track, all main tracks are not the same. There's a different one in New York, there's a different one in Churchill, there's a different one in Florida, so forth and so on. So, when those horses ship into Santa Anita, it might be a little deeper track than they're used to. It might be a slower track than they're used to. So it's going to be an interesting byproduct as far as how it might possibly affect the results of the different races, the way the racetrack is. Now, I know some of the trainers, Steve Asmussen comes to the top of my list as far as my head, is he did come out with his horses early, at least two and a half weeks early. So he had his horses do workouts at Santa Anita. They've been galloping over the track. And I think he took the strategy that, if the track's going to be different, I want to come out and get my horses acclimated as much as they can.
Let me kind of promote you real quick. The last time I spoke to you, you had the lone winner. I think it was in the Belmont. $22 winner, and you were the only one to pick it. I think it was Belmont. It could have been the Preakness, or it could have been the Travers.
That's true, Steve. For the Belmont Stakes, I'm pretty sure I came on your show and I did some other shows, but I picked Sir Winston.
Yes.
Right. And he paid $22.
And where I wanted to go with that is a listener who obviously listens to me a lot said, you know what? That guy is very good. He was the only guy to pick him. And I'm going to start paying attention. I think, he knows what he's doing. And in fact, tell me, promote your tip sheet or where people can find your picks for this weekend.
Well, the products I have, I talked about my book, Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies. That's available in all bookstores and Amazon and eBay and stuff like that. But as far as my sheet, I handicap Southern California every day. And the sheet is available at racedaylasvegas.com, racedaylasvegas.com. I have a homepage there, and they can click on it and get the information. They can email me directly. My email is rich_ng@hotmail.com. Again, that's rich_ng@hotmail.com. And also for these special events, I do work for Eddie DeRosa over at brisnet.com. And so I've got the 2 days, day one and day two. I've done 5-page full analysis of the cards from races 1 through 10, 1 through 12 on both days. And so I picked not only the Breeders' Cup races, Steve, I actually went right to the first race and the last race. So hopefully I can help people cash some tickets and make some money.
Yeah, no. I read it religiously when I'm at the track, so I recommend it highly. I love reading Richard's picks and why he picks them. So, you know, if you want to go on Saturday or Friday, tomorrow, please do that, because I know I will. I call you because I have some connections here. Obviously, we know who they are, the Baffert guys and the Carr guys, Whiteman and Watson and Pegram. They have McKenzie, my favorite horse at this moment, but he seems to finish second too much for me.
Well, he kind of stubbed his toe in the Awesome Again during the summer. You know, I'm one of the voters for the NTRA as far as the top 10, and McKenzie actually had been at the top of my list for most of the summer. But what happened to him at Santa Anita and the Awesome Again had me kind of worried a little bit. He had the length of the stretch to try to catch a horse called a Mongolian Groom, and he could not catch him. And I think that they had gone around again, he wasn't going to catch him. It made Bob Baffert think and scratch his head, and he ended up switching jockeys to Joel Rosario. Not that Mike Smith did anything wrong, but he just wanted to change things up. So, and I think there might be a chink in the armor with McKenzie. I know in my picks, I'm certainly going to try to beat him. He's going to be a short price, but I'm going to try to beat him in the Classic.
Yeah, and that's the big race. That's the, what, $5 million, $6 million race?
It's a $6 million, the richest one, and I'll be forwardly placed. If I gave Sir Winston out in the Belmont Stakes, I'll try to give out maybe a winner in the Classic. But my top choice in the Classic, Steve, is Code of Honor, a three-year-old to beat older horses. I just think he's really peaking at the right time off his last two wins, the Travers victory, and got placed first in the Jockey Gold Cup, and he only lost by a nose anyway, so in my mind, he ran a winning race. He's my top choice, and my second choice, I went for the five-year-old mare, Elate, who's 3-for-3 at the Classic distance of 1.25 miles. Her speed figures are competitive with these, and, you know, Bill Mott, when he makes a decision like this, he doesn't take it lightly. I know he's put a lot of thought into it, done a lot of analysis, and if it's good enough for Bill Mott, it's good enough for me. So those are my top two choices, Code of Honor and Elate.
I'm writing this stuff down. Now I don't have to subscribe to your subscription here. I'm not going to call in.
there's a lot more meat on the bone where that came from.
yes. No, but that's a classic. People have to sit through 24 races or, you know, a number of races to get to that point, which I'm paying attention to. This is Christmas to you, isn't it?
Oh, no question about it. Because, you know, when you play this game, on a day-to-day basis, it could get dreary. You could kind of get ground down, a little jaded. But when you get days like this, you know, the Triple Crown, days like this for the Breeders' Cup, it really puts a little hop in your step. And the chances of making a betting score really increase dramatically because, you know, one thing I talk about with all kinds of players is, you know, sometimes you have to look at owner intent, trainer intent, jockey intent. Well, when you have races like this, you don't have to worry about intent. Everybody is honed to the razor's edge as far as the horses. Everyone's trying to win. Everyone's trying to ride the hair off to try to win second, third, or fourth. You get best effort all the way around. And when you're building tickets, you know, that's really all you can ask for is best effort out there by the participants. And you're going to get it these next couple of days.
Yeah, no fun. I would assume that you'd be out in Santa Anita, but you're not going to be. You're going to be in Vegas.
Well, I don't really travel that much, even though, you know, for 20 years I was the horse racing writer and handicapper for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and even though California was so close, I just didn't get to travel that much. And one thing I do, I wear a different hat, Steve. I actually am the manager for the Daily Racing Forum of the Las Vegas office. I take care of all the casinos in the state of Nevada, and also we send our papers down to Arizona and up to other places. So I stay pretty busy. It's a busy weekend for me in more ways than one.
I did not know that. So you're part of the Daily Racing Forum's editorship?
No, actually, I don't write for the Racing Forum. I'm doing the distribution. So
okay.
It's not very glamorous, Steve. They haven't asked me to write, but that's okay. I you know, we sell a lot of papers.
Oh, no question.
In the state of Nevada, we're actually the number one market in the country as far as for the Daily Racing Form hard copy sales.
Oh, yeah, no question. When I'm up there, I get them. It's my Bible. Got to have my Bible.
Got to have it.
Yes. So, okay, I'm just checking in. Good luck this weekend. Give us one more chance to get what you get, and I know I'm going to get it. So, Las Vegas, give us the website one more time.
Yes. Well, there's for the Breeders' Cup selections, they can either go to brisnet.com and take a look at the handicapper page, or during the entire year, go to racedaylasvegas.com. racedaylasvegas.com, and I have a home page. You'll see my smiling face on the left side. Just click on it, and there'll be full explanation on how to purchase the sheet, or you can just email me, and I'll help everybody out.
Great. Richard, it's always good to talk to you. This is probably the last for the year, because there's not anything big coming up after this until next year's three-year-olds come around for the Derby again.
Yeah, January 1st, all these two-year-olds turn three, and we start looking at the Derby and the Oaks, and we'll see if we can come up with another Justify somehow.
That's true. Another American Pharoah Justify, and we'll see what happens. Good luck this weekend. I know you're going to cash some tickets.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Good luck to you and to all the listeners out there.
Great. Thank you. That was Richard Ng, one of my good callers, one of my good friends out of Vegas, who does really well on the ponies. I love that sport very much. Let's take a quick break here on 10 Through the Voice and come back here. Thanks a bunch. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Mea culpa, Tom. Mea culpa with your Chicago team. How many times do I need to say it to get off the
floor?
You
don't need to say it at all.
Man.
It's not a big deal.
See what happens when you don't pay attention? You get wrong a couple of times. But it's good to know, and they're on the road, but we have some callers listening. They get a ticket. I'll probably do the same deal next week when they come back into town.
Okay.
Have some tickets going out to the Tucson Roadrunners.
Well, if they just want to call in and chat, shall we just invite them to call in 790-2040?
We have 10 minutes. If you guys want to talk about the UA basketball program, getting the Baker eligible, that's great.
Getting some depth at guard, which is not going to hurt.
Not going to hurt. Yeah, they should be better than what we thought. You never know what something happens, injury or whatever happens. And we'll talk about football tomorrow. I know the exhibition game is tomorrow night. I'm going to be rushing from here to that.
Now we're talking about the basketball
exhibition
basketball
game. Yeah,
so
yeah,
Chico
I thought it was at 7.
State, and it's not going to be on Pac-12. It's not going to be on any of the major networks. But
no.
There may be a way that you can stream it if you go to the University of Arizona Athletic webpage. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about that, but it seems like I saw something. Here I go again, Steve, telling you I saw something somewhere.
You saw ghosts.
Another ghost. Well, 790-2040, if you can help me out, can you stream these activities on the university's athletic website?
Yeah, if you can, you have more time than me, because I don't know if I wouldn't stream, but I'm going to go to the game, rush from here to there, and then catch the second half.
It's 6:30 start time, pretty early, huh?
Right. I was thinking I might be putting one of my best shows. I don't have any more best shows.
Of course you do.
No, in fact, I have another intern coming in tomorrow, a different intern. He's going to come in, and I think I might have somebody else as well. We're going to talk about the basketball game. We're going to talk about football for the weekend. Homecoming, it's a big deal this weekend. The new defensive coordinator, obviously, Chuck Cecil. We did a show, our Sports Guys show yesterday, so I need to put that up as well, talking about the new look, Arizona. We'll see if there is going to be a new look behind Chuck Cecil.
Well, what do you think? It's homecoming. The Oregon State Beavers, they're shaking up the defensive, just the defensive coordinator and one other of the defensive coaches. I forget which one, but the rest of the defensive coaches are staying.
Yeah.
And Chuck Cecil, who has a history with Arizona, especially Arizona football, you're into sports psychology. What do you make of all this? How is this going to affect the team?
It's going to be really good. They're going to come out pumped. They're going to play hard. They're going to play well. And I think they're going to win. Not to say that Oregon State's a bad team. I thought they were going to beat them anyway a couple of months ago. But Oregon State is playing better. The thing about it is it's at home. Part of my psychology is when you kind of have a shakeup, the guys will play harder for the next guy until they can't play harder anymore, if that makes any sense. And they'll win this one and then struggle the rest of the way.
All right. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. And I've been right a couple times. I've been wrong probably more.
I don't keep score.
Yeah, I do. I'm miserable. No, we'll see what happens. But that's part of the psychology, and I talked about that last night. You have a new life in a program that it needs some life. They have it in Chuck Cecil. They'll see. I don't think they're going to go to anything different. I think they're just going to play harder.
You seen or read any of the reaction from any of the team players on the defensive side?
Yeah, they were
side?
Surprised that it happened. They were a little shocked, yada, yada, that they need to step up and, you know, it's not about the coach. But if they're surprised and shocked, guess what? They haven't been paying attention.
Right. But in all of the comments that I've seen and read, I haven't come across any of them saying that they regret that this change has been made.
Well, they don't say that. People would never say that.
They're all talking about we're gonna have to do better.
Yes.
We're gonna have to shake things up, and yes, this is one way of doing it.
Yeah, it's like the question: ask me, am I a good guy? Ask me.
Are you a good guy,
yeah,
Steve?
Heck yeah, heck yeah! I'm a good guy. I can give you some proof.
There's a rumor to that effect. Steve is a good guy.
My point is, what do you think I'm going to tell you? Of course, I'm going to tell you. No, don't, Tom. I'm a jerk. So they're going to give you what you want to hear or don't want to hear, but they're going to give you the right answer until they can't give you the right answer.
It's also, I'm not sure about this. Help me with this. It seems like there were some of the guys that heard about this, that got the information before the rest of the guys on the defensive side of the team did. Do you make anything of that?
No, not at all.
All right.
Not at all. Where'd you get that from?
Well, reading between the lines of some of the comments
Yikes.
That I saw
Yikes.
And some of the comments that I heard, it sounded to me like some of these guys were getting the word from Colin Schooler. So Schooler got it before they did.
Okay.
So whatever that means, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and you're going with it somewhere with that?
I have no idea. You're the sports psychology guy, not me.
Okay, if you want to ask me the sports psychology, it means nothing. Maybe one of the captains got it first and was told, and then the Schooler tells the other guys. I mean, it's not a big deal.
So if any of them got it early, it was probably Schooler and maybe Scotty Young and Whitaker.
If it's true.
Yeah, okay.
If it's true.
Yeah.
And that's not a shock to me. Or it shouldn't be a shock to me, because that's just how information gets trickled out. Especially if you're one of the main guys, they're going to let you guys know before everybody else. It was not a shock to me. It was a question of when, not if. And I would assume if things don't go well in the next month or so, that more shoes will fall in the next few months.
Well, one of the things that Sumlin said was everybody's auditioning for their jobs.
Yeah, and that's just, and he's, yeah, and so is he.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, what's that saying? If you're hired to be fired in being a coach, pretty much true.
Did any of this, the way it came down, surprise you
no.
in any way?
Good question.
What about the choice of Chuck
no,
Cecil?
No, that was an obvious choice. When it's a popular choice, it's an obvious choice. That's not a shock at all. The timing of it, not so much, given how things have gone over the last few weeks. And two, this program needs some kind of spark. It just does. I'm sure the people that were involved in this hiring or firing or whatever kind of had enough.
Well, the way things were going, I don't think anybody saw another win coming.
Right. Correct. This kind of gives some life to it. They can probably win this game, and then we'll see what happens next. It was something that was inevitable. It was inevitable. And these contracts are year to year. If I were a coach truly, who I made $1 million or $500,000 a year, you know what I'm doing? I'm living on $50,000 a year and saving the rest. and I'm not joking. You know why?
Because you're looking out for your future.
Exactly. Because you don't know. In sports, you have no idea. You get a new boss, you get whatever, and guess what? He don't like you? What are you going to do?
All right. One more question, and then we can change the subject if you want.
Okay.
If they win big, if they look really good against Oregon State, do you say, well, don't put anything into it, let's see what happens in the next game?
Yes. Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. And people do that. They look good. They're going to be. No. You know my motto. Every game is a season, and it's how you play that day. Because if they stink it up, I would think the same thing. They're just not any good. Does that make sense?
Well, you can't read, amount, yeah.
You can't read too much into things and changes. I do think they're going to play harder. They'll probably be better. The opponent matters. The opponent matters. Oregon State is not.
There really isn't enough time for Chuck Cecil to make any significant changes in the schemes.
Correct. All he can do is make them play harder.
Yeah.
And let's say this. He'll make them do that. Just because of inspiration, just because of how he is, or how he was. We don't know the Chuck Cecil.
They've learned a lot about him since he came to campus.
Sure.
From what I've seen and read again, comments that they've made. And
now we just need to see if he has that bite in him, you know, or that that will to translate who he is to the field and the guys who play for him. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Hey.
What else?
Another show is over. We'll talk tomorrow.
You've got possibly a new intern that
intern's going to come in and
may
talk.
May come in and talk.
Talk about sports, and then we'll rush out to the basketball game and see
Chico
how it
State.
Goes. Yes, thanks for everybody for listening. Thanks to the caller who called in, and that's for next week's Roadrunners game. And thanks for the show today. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow here on 10:30 The Voice.